Hey guys, I'm Alex.
And I'm Drew.
And today on the Two Man Comic Book Club podcast, we're taking a look at issues 7, 8, and 9 of Mr. Miracle by Tom King and Mitch Gerards. Let's go. Gonna put the preface out there. I'm feeling a little allergy-y right now. Got a little bit of phlegm in the pipes, so I'm gonna try to not be clearing my throat constantly in your ear or in your car or wherever you're listening to this. But do be patient.
Nice.
What's up, Drew?
I don't know how to start this. For whatever reason, we're covering Mr. Miracle.
Yeah,
this will be the penultimate two-man episode mm-hmm. on this of Mr. Miracle, not of the show. And yeah,
you just finished the whole thing, right?
Yes, I did. I finished it yesterday.
Without spoilering,
I did not expect that ending.
Yeah,
so
I've been waiting to discuss it, but even so, Drew and I will like read something and really be excited to talk about it, but then think, dang, we need to save it for the podcast. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's been a handful of times where we've recreated the conversation, but still, it doesn't feel quite as organic when we do it that way. Yeah, super excited for wrapping up this series. 7, 8, 9 are a lot happens and not a lot happens at the same time. I think it's going to be easy for us to, I think, summarize and kind of move through these just to give you the bullet points.
So this one might be a quicker episode.
Yeah.
Next one will probably be back to the...
A beefy one.
Beyond an hour.
Yeah. I kind of like... I've been doing some Uber Eats just to make some extra cash on the side, and I've been listening to a lot of podcasts while I do it. So I've been working my way through the My Marvelous Year stuff, just slowly but surely. And those guys, they like kind of talked a little bit about their process. I don't know if they did it on purpose, but... basically were kind of like said that they started off, and I remember this whenever I first started listening to it, they were doing like the beat by beat, and then this happened, and then this happened, and then this happened, and now it's just way sweeping big idea stuff, which they kind of argue, and I tend to agree with them to an extent, like kind of facilitates the conversation of it a little bit more, because they were kind of in their notes a little bit too much, because obviously when you're doing that much detail, you got to kind of have your nose down in your notepad or whatever. But I think there's value to when we're able to do the same sort of thing mm-hmm. on these issues. Excuse me, folks. It might be a long haul today. I'm trying.
So I might just jump right into it. Hey, Alex.
Yeah.
What you been reading, yo?
I'm glad you asked. I've gotten significantly further down the rabbit hole of the Al Ewing Immortal Hulk run. It is really good. I think I'm like, I say significantly, I've probably read 12 issues of it by now, but it felt like I think I read like 7 of those last night. It's really good. Issue 7 especially, it was just kind of, I won't spoil much, but this is like a classic scenario we've seen before with the Hulk where he's kind of getting out of hand and the Avengers got to get involved. And just again, kind of reminded you just how powerful the Hulk is, like how hard it is for the entirety of the Avengers, you know, all the captains and Iron People have a really hard time stopping the Hulk whenever he's mad. So I'm excited to see where it goes from now. It's a really cool, because it's kind of like a horror comic, but not in the traditional sense of that medium. It's, there are like, you know, horror vibes for sure, but it's not always from where you expect it to be, I guess I should say. Highly recommend it. There's like 49 issues on Marvel Unlimited. Like it's almost over. By the time you read that many issues, you'll likely be ready to finish it all. And I'm again excited to see what Donny Cates does with Hulk next. I imagine it'll be pretty different from this run, because this has been a nice treat. Mm-hmm. Also caught up on, or almost caught up on, Chip Zdarsky's Daredevil run. I've just been going through and like picking out the ones that I've been working at and I got behind. I'm still like, I don't know, probably 60 comics away from being caught up on X-Men right now, which feels
impossible. Every month, mm-hmm. how many Fallout more come out?
I don't even know.
Is it 10 more?
At
less?
Least. Oh, at wow. least okay. 10 every
A lot
month.
Of X-Books.
Yeah, there's a lot of X-Books.
Are any of them weekly, or are they all basically monthly?
I think they're all monthly. I'm like reading them in a weird order now, so it's hard for me to like actually think about individually when they're coming out. But you know, several of them are in the 20 plus range. I would say the majority of them are, and then there's new ones coming out constantly. Like it's the X-Men are very big right now in the comics. Like they're kind of, I mean, the whole Krakoa thing, the fallout of powers and house are still being felt. So it's really cool. I like it. I don't want to rush through it because I want to. This feels like a significant point to where if I can stay relatively caught up on it, I'll kind of always be in the know of modern X-Men. But it's testing me. What else? Been reviewing the Mr. Miracle stuff just to stay fresh on it. I want to make sure we give all the details on that. I haven't read much indie. I read more Batman Zero Year. Only a handful of issues. I need to... I don't know. It's just so hard to pull away from Marvel for me. I'm going to keep reading it, but... I'm like reading Batman and I think, oh, wonder how the Hulk's doing. And then I wake up and I'm read four Hulk issues.
Yep.
What happens. About you, man?
I am caught up on DC Universe Infinite, whatever it's called, on three of the four series that I backed up and started reading. From like 2018.
Which are what?
I'm caught up on the Superman title. So I read everything from 2018 to what is currently released.
Wow.
On DC, on the app. Same thing with Action Comics. And same thing with... Wait, no, maybe not Action Comics. Action Comics is the one I'm still working on? Or is it my... I'm good at this. I've read all of Supergirl. I know that. It might be Batman Superman that mm-hmm. I'm still reading.
You were telling me that one's really good.
I like it pretty well. Pretty well. I don't know what that means. Mm-hmm. So I'm almost caught up to that. So I'll be going month to month on those. I also got to take my wife's car to get an oil change that quickly turned into a much more in-depth event. And I took a couple books with me, and I finally finished We Live. 10 out of 10, would recommend.
Yeah, I've heard that from several people now. I'm going to have to check that out.
And I also finally read the first collection of Black Hammer that Alex lent me. So I'm actually going to hand these both over to you because I'm done with this, and you need to read this. And when you're done with this, pass it on to Torrance because I think we should cover it.
Ah, cool. Yeah, I'll start on it tonight.
Yeah. And, you know, obviously, Mr. Miracle. I've also made it to season 3 of Daredevil. So I finished Iron Fist and Luke Cage season 2.
Yeah.
I think that means that all I have left of the Netflix saga is the remainder of Daredevil 3. And then there's a season of Punisher and season of Jessica Jones, I think. And then I'll be done with that. And I
until they get pulled in.
Yeah. And then maybe I'll try to, Colby keeps telling me I need to watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I try to, but it's an obviously like made for network TV and they spend a lot less on every episode than these Netflix shows and stuff. So I need to acclimate myself back to that so that I can get, and there's just a ton of episodes. Like I used to love 23 episode seasons of things because it gives you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Now I've kind of pivoted more towards I like the 10.
Yeah.
Because they're able to tell you the story they want to, not
fill
bloated episodes just to fill the schedule. So I don't know. I'll probably jump to that next. But
have you gotten to watch any of the Netflix Daredevil stuff on your
C1? Yes, I watched last night or 2 nights ago, I watched an episode. Yeah, Alex helped me pick out a new TV. And because I've had the same TV for like 11 years or something.
It was time.
And it was burnt in, had all these shadowy stuff. The entire top left quadrant of the TV was just a shadow. So like me and my wife were watching The Walking Dead the other day, and she was like, what is happening? They were in a cave.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, I don't know. I can't see anything.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just so weird. I keep getting tripped. It's 4K. It's all kinds of
OLED.
It's offensive.
Offensively good.
How good this TV is. Like, I just watched these 4K hiking videos, and Holly was like, I feel like I could reach out and touch it.
Yeah, some of them, they do just feel otherworldly, especially from the contrast of what you came from, because I came over early in the day before you'd taken it down just to get, like, an idea and just to hang out. But I was like, wow, he's about to have a major experience upgrade. Yeah. And that he did.
Yeah, Holly was like, I thought my eyes were going bad, but I think it was just the TV.
Yeah. So. Well, now your viewing experience shot up. I forgot to ask, have you watched The Suicide Squad yet?
I still have not.
Well, hurry up.
I'm sorry. I don't have HBO Max, which Titans Season 3 just came out on HBO Max, and it made me want to curse.
Yeah.
Because I can't watch that on DC Universe anymore. Like, I loved it. I watched all of those shows, and I was obsessed with them. And now, unless I pay for another service, just like...
Yeah, it's weird how short-lived that version of DC... Well, what was it before? DC Universe? Now it's DC Infinite?
DC Universe Infinite.
So whatever.
DC Universe Infinite.
They added onto the title and took away from the content. Mm-hmm. Now it's just the comic app, which I don't hate. I like it just kind of being a very focused, knows what it wants to be thing. But
there are more comics than there were it had the video with
right.
it.
It's much, I don't know if it's quite reached what Marvel Unlimited is yet, but it's probably going to catch it eventually, which is good for us. Mm-hmm. But I was surprised at how short-lived it seemed that version, the original thought for the app was. I think like quickly after it came out, that merger happened. Like, I guess they officially bought some controlling stake or something. I don't know. Enough for them to go, oh, well, we're making HBO Max. Everybody likes these DC titles. Let's put them on HBO Max to get everybody to come to HBO Max. We need to find time to watch The Suicide Squad again over here after a podcast or something, because it's awesome. I don't know if Tori's seen it yet either. Maybe we...
Oh, yeah.
Maybe we have a two-man watch party with three men.
Could be good.
What else? Any other watching comics?
No. I was listening to our last episodes on the way here, so I would know where we were with trivia, and it reminded me of a few things. I can't remember if we mentioned in the last one, but since there's just a little bit of time and we may end up having to take a commercial break. That's funny. It's not a commercial break, just a break.
Yeah.
For the sake of my battery and stuff, I want to say real quick, remember, we want you to join our Discord.
Oh, yes.
There is a link in the show notes, though I have tried to click on it before and it gives me issues. So if you have wanted to join the Discord and are having issues, then shoot us an email at twomancomicbookclub@gmail.com and I will personally send you a link to join the Discord.
Yeah.
That might be easier to just type in that email than it would be to try to figure out the Discord link from the bottom. So we want you to join that because we've got some cool stuff we have in planned for the coming months. And we need you on the Discord if you want to be a part of it. So
yeah.
I just wanted to mention that.
While we're here, if you would like to like and subscribe, if you're watching this on YouTube, do that. Helps us out a lot. Leave us ratings on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you can. Follow us on our social media accounts. Follow us on our personal accounts. You can find me at Alex Wayne Miller. Wayne is in WAYNE, just like Bruce Wayne, because I am Batman. Drew.
Batman.
What about yourself?
You can find me at Drew Morris Comp on Twitter, Drew Morris Composer, other places.
Yeah.
Or just Drew Morris Music.
And then for the social for the two-man accounts, it is Two Man Comic Book on Twitter.
Yeah, with the number two.
Comic Book Club everywhere else.
Yes, that is correct, sir. Yeah.
Trying to do those call to actions much earlier. Sometimes we wait till the very end.
I had another thought. If you're managing to still be listening, I'm really curious how many of you have listened to a ton of our episodes and just haven't reached out to us. I'd love to know, like, are you listening in Pakistan, or are you listening in London? Are you listening in Cincinnati, Ohio?
Yeah. We've met listeners all over.
Yeah, we do. So we've connected with a bunch of you. We'd love to connect with even more. So All those ways that we just said to connect, if one of them lines up with your personal preferences, then please let us know that you're listening. Let us know what you think.
Do it. Join our club. Be our friends. I keep yawning.
One of us.
I keep yawning and then immediately thinking about how walrus-like I must look on my camera over there.
Okay.
I'm just going to put it out into the world. Mm-hmm. How are we doing on time?
We might be able to make it through the first issue before we take a little break.
Yeah, I think we can do that. We're gonna carry on with 7, 8, and 9. I will say that these are...
swift.
They're swift, but they allow you, if you're actually reading them, to slow down and check out all the nuanced details that Tom King and Mitch Gerads are able to put into the substance of this book, because they are very real. There's a lot of humanity in them, and it's very easy when you're reading a comic book like that to kind of like swift through it. And on the flip side, it's difficult to portray that by us just kind of talking about it without getting into a 3-hour podcast, which we can't do. So again, you're going to be best served reading these comics and then joining the discussion with us on here. There will be spoilers, obviously, but it's still worth reading on your own after listening to this just to get the full picture, especially when we get to 10, 11, and 12, because your head's going to hurt after that one, probably. Even if you like it, your head's going to hurt. Anyway, this is 7, 8, and 9. Tom King still writing. Mitch Gerads still doing pencils, inks, and colors, and the variant cover. Clayton Cowles still on letters. Nick Darrington doing the cover. Brittany Holzer is associate editor. Jamie S. Rich is the editor. And, of course, Mr. Miracle was created by Jack the King Kirby.
So where we had just left off was a pretty monumental moment in the throne room. Condo discussion was happening, and we find out that Big Barda is pregnant. Then Mr. Miracle runs in to try to talk to Orion about him being sentenced to death, and he finds Orion dead and Darkseid sitting on his throne. And it's just...
then he boom tubes out of there.
Boom tubes out of there. And now we just pop in. And, you know, at that point, it took me a minute after reading it. I was like, so she just now says she's pregnant. And the next thing that we see right here, whenever we open up issue seven, is that they're running to the emergency room because Barda is having contractions. So obviously, I don't know what the gestation period of a new god is, but I'm assuming it's roughly 9 months.
Yeah, I would think so. So some time has lapsed, which there's a precedence for in this book so far.
And, you know, they kind of go into it, but yeah, we kind of just jump in. And there is a funny conversation. It's not important, but I did enjoy it right at the very beginning where he's trying to pull up and he's like, I heard that this place has a valet. And he's like, yeah, it does.
I think the guy says, I'm the valet.
I'm the valet. And he's like, okay, well, then I'd like you to do this. And he's like, no, there's parking around on Olympic or something like that.
Yeah.
And he's just sitting there like, why won't this guy take the car? So he has a woman who is pregnant, contractions like 4 minutes apart or whatever they said.
Yeah.
And he's having to go find a parking spot and walk her in.
Yeah. Which, again, is it grounds this comic book. Like, we're starting off, these are gods, and they're still dealing with these very human, real, relatable problems that, I mean, this is kind of a classic scene, right? Like The Office, Jim and Pam trying to find, you know, Michael's like pulling up into the emergency, pulling it at an ER, stops in the middle. A guy's like, you can't park here. Michael grabs his keys and just throws them as far as he can. He says, I'm parking here. It's that thing, you know, like just the struggle of like, give me a break, man. This is an emergency. I'm parking here.
Yeah. And they just go about their typical, you know, all right, things are looking good, and the dilation's going up and all that stuff. And then Scott goes out to visit Barda's relatives.
Yeah, well, he hears a boom tube come in, and he's like, oh, God, they're here.
And she's like, I told him not to come or something like that. But he goes out there, and this is the first time we've seen these people in this comic, but they're the Furies, right?
Yes.
So are these basically Barda's sisters, or essentially, like sisters by blood, or
essentially they're kind of like
by choice.
Granny Goodness leads the female Furies, which is like, I've always kind of compared them in my mind to the Valkyrie,
Okay.
Just like these female warriors, and there's a bunch of them in here that's just to support Barda, even if they don't like Scott.
And they're just crazy, you know?
Yeah.
And, but they're trying. It's funny because I might be getting ahead of myself, but I'm going to go ahead and say it now because I think she says it pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
It might be the next time they're talking.
Yeah.
But Scott is having these conversations with these Furies who he's actually actively in a war with.
Correct.
Right now.
Yeah.
But they're sitting in a waiting room exchanging pleasantries because they're family.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's just so it, right? Weird. That's more the humanity of this. Like, there's a scenario that I maybe even some of our listeners or, you know, personally I've dealt with. Like, sometimes with significant moments, you put aside your differences, no matter how big, mm-hmm. to be family. You know, that happens. It's real. So, again, it's just another very beautiful moment that we're kind of glazing over, but go back and read these comics, folks.
Yeah. And he goes back to Barty. He's like, I told him they're not allowed to come in, you know. And she's like, are they? And but he just like passes it on.
Yeah.
This whole time, he's like trying to come up with what to call this kid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what? Let's see. I heard him. What about Star Razor? some other ones. I'm gonna flip through and try to find a few.
Yeah, while he's doing that, I'll just kind of
paint this. Axe Blow.
Yeah. She's like, you know, in pain. Like, I feel like they also, I just want to make sure that I word this so that I'm not offending anybody. This is not meant as an offensive comment, but the art here does a good job of kind of like, or at least when I look at Big Barda in every one of these panels, I feel how uncomfortable she probably looks and how she's kind of like, she's just at the end of a pregnancy, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like Mitch Gerard's, now this is from a perspective that I will never be able to fully relate to, I guess I should say, but you can just tell that she's very pregnant and she's over this and she's in pain and she's over her appearance. She's just like, oh, get this baby out of me right now. And I just always, it's kind of a chuckle. I feel like if anybody else has experienced childbirth, mm-hmm. which I have not, maybe would appreciate just the perspective of everything in this.
Then at one point he goes back out to talk to the Furies, and mm-hmm. this was a very telling page.
Oh yeah.
She reaches out to hand him this glowing knife, and I'm just going to read what
Farron knife is what it's called.
She's like,
kills gods.
Our Barda's skin will not break with earth instruments. This is the Farron knife. It kills gods. I will one day use it to kill you, High Father. And he's like, boom. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
But apparently, Scott Free, Mr. Miracle, is now the High Father because who else would it be?
Yeah.
So he's running everything.
Right. Orion's dead. Darkseid's not the High Father. Drew said it right there. And then she says, but you may have it for now. It will cut her as she needs to be cut.
And he takes it in to show it to Barda. And she was like, oh, no, that doesn't cut. It burns from the inside. She's, you know. So I was just... so let's not use this.
Right.
Actually.
It's a pretty intense weapon. Also, just a note, like backing up one second, his reaction to being threatened with a knife that he's being offered that might help him is okay.
Yeah. It's that same, I'm going to go get some milk. I'm going to get a carrot.
Right. Yeah. Guy. Just not taking anyone too seriously as he doesn't.
And, you know, the things just keep moving on. And it's just at one point that they share a story. It's like, do you remember Jacob's Ladder? Yeah. And Scott says, yeah, of course. The only way out of the X pit. I used to stare at it. And Barda says, the book said you're supposed to think of something calm. I think of Jacob's Ladder. And
it's what Scott escaped
from
Granny Goodness on Jacob's
Ladder. So they, I think they end up, I'm getting ahead of myself here, but I'm just going to say they end up naming him Jacob.
Yeah.
So,
which is a nice little
metaphor. It's not quite the same as Iron Breaker.
Right.
That was another one I saw, but Jacob is good.
Yeah. Jacob Free, which, It is a possible, if not release from the world that they live in right now, at least a hope for that, which I believe is what they're implying here. Like when they were trapped mm-hmm. in Apocalypse, they would look at Jacob's Ladder as hope
mm-hmm.
to possibly escape. So maybe there's a metaphor here of them.
He's
looking
also
to
currently
their...
wearing the Superman shirt, and that S in Kryptonian stands for hope.
Right.
I wonder if there was anything there.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely layers for sure.
Why did they wait so long for him to put on that Superman shirt? I don't know.
Could be this. I mean, the layers, they line up for sure. But yeah, just now they're naming their son after something that gave them hope. And maybe there is hope in that this is a new step in their life. And They won't constantly be fighting this endless war of the gods.
And pretty soon, the labor happens, and the baby comes out, and it looks gray, and they're talking to, like, what is this? What's going on? He looks fine, but he should be crying, and the cord's wrapped around his neck, and they go to try to cut it, and nothing is working. So Scott grabs the Farron knife, and he's about to take it, and we get one of those dark side his panels.
Yeah.
And then he just uses it to cut the thing, and the baby starts crying, and he goes back out, and he kind of gives everybody a heads up, returns the Farron knife. He's like, his name's Jacob, and everything's fine, you know.
Yeah.
And then they have...
Once again, she points out that she's going to kill him with this knife, and he's like rubbing it. He's like, yeah, okay, it's fine.
And then they're having their moment, and they're like, this is like the first father, a mother, baby moment. But Barta says, I like him. I think we should keep him.
Yeah.
Grandson of Darkseid, son of High Father, first child born of Apocalypse, a new Genesis, a new God, a little miracle. Scott's like, I don't know. He looks more like just a little lump.
Yeah.
So, and
that's more or less it.
Yeah. And that's kind of just how it closes out.
And you get more of the circuit ringleader announcer leading us out of the comic. But so that whole issue is just takes place in the hospital. And again, it deals with some very human stuff, even for some people who claim to be gods. So, again, I'll probably say this 20 more times before this episode over. Read the issue. It's worth it. The art's great. There's way more nuance and depth than what we just covered, but we got two more to cover, which we will do right after this break. And we're back with issue 8, and we're going to jump right in. This is another one that kind of moves through at a relatively quick pace, but we'll just kind of open up and I'll paint a picture and then hand it off to my boy Drew. Pow, 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 pow. So we get in here, and did you immediately get like Hitler vibes?
Absolutely, I did.
Like from this guy. We're seeing this ledge, and this guy walks out, and literally, I'm not doing the gesture. He does the Hitler thing, like Heil Hitler. I just have thought of how terribly and dark humor it would be if you used me saying Heil Hitler as the tag.
I had that same thought, and it was instantly like, that would be a terrible idea.
Yeah, terrible, but you and I would giggle at each other like, oh, I made him look like a Nazi. Not funny, but slightly funny. Anyway, this guy's out here being a little too Reich-y for my taste, and you kind of suddenly find out that he's...
Would this be the Fourth Reich?
This would be the Fourth Reich.
Fourth world.
Yeah. But anyway, he's obviously being viewed through the scope of something. So it looks like he's about to be clipped and somebody blows his head off, which is it too mean to say that maybe that guy deserved it just by
not at all.
Invoking the thoughts of who he was invoking. Yes. But anyway, it's Scott Free holding a sniper gun, and he killed whoever this dude was, some general for Apocalypse.
Yep. So then we turn the page and complete 180.
Yeah.
Speaking of, there's a coffee cup on a microwave thing doing a 180, spinning around in a circle. It's that I Am God mug. What did we say? Freaky? No.
Funky.
Funky is there with Scott, and he's heating up water so that he can warm up some milk.
Yeah.
And they're just talking.
I love this, by the way. It changed the context of how this mug is being used. Like, yeah. I should have gone back and looked, but he was using it before in a very kind of like almost hipster way, I think, is the vibe I got earlier. And now you see the mug again, but it's being heated up to warm up a baby bottle. Like, it was a nice just little juxtaposition of changing their current position into where they are now.
And we take a whole page, and Scott's sitting there singing the Hush Little Baby, Don't Say a Word song.
Yeah.
And then you turn the page. Once again, 180, we're back in war. Mm-hmm. And he's like saying, there's no escape. Don't stop. Come on. And he's just like, he has this crazy sword. And he's like running around, going on, like getting shot at with lasers, I guess.
Yeah.
He's like, there's no escape. But then he just keeps charging through. And he just keeps skewering these guys that look like sort of like Barda's armor.
Yeah.
But they're the bad guys.
And you'll see the art when Drew puts it up here. It's he is in the thick of war right now. He's like on the front line killing people. He's got blood all over him. That's kind of a theme for the rest of this issue. They're back and forth, very stark contrast from the lives of early fatherhood to the blood of war.
Yeah. And I think it would be safe to just skip along. Like, yeah, he got injured. One of the field medic is fixing his leg. Then he's back in the baby's room. And
it seems like he's on a call most of the time, right? Like through his mother box, talking about little moments he's missing while he's at war.
Yeah. Like whenever he's in war, he's talking to Barda about what's going on. When Barda's in war, he's talking to her about it. But like until the very end of this book, we never see the two of them together. It's always either he's watching the kid or he's in war, or she's watching the kid or she's in war.
Right.
And Funky's there to help out too. And there's just this funny part where, I just now saw what shirt he was wearing. Did you realize that? Mm-hmm. Watchman shirt?
Yeah.
So there's a few shirts he has on that I'm not able to identify. But there's a little toy Batman that's in the crib.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought that was funny. Yeah.
Yeah, and they don't want to leave it in there because they're afraid he'll...
Batman kills babies. Is that what it says?
Yeah. Basically, they get to the infant death syndrome of babies dying from... suffocating themselves, and that's why he can't have a Batman doll in his crib.
Yeah, and then we're back in the war, and he's sitting there discussing tactics and whatnot with Light Ray.
Yep.
And then he's just carrying bodies of, I guess, I'm assuming that's one of his people.
Yeah, fallen soldiers.
And he's putting him in this giant just river of dead
bodies. Yeah.
And it's very, very morbid. But then we're back on Earth, and he's at the park with his baby, and I don't know who that is. I don't know if we're supposed to know who that is, but he's just talking to some woman who's scrolling through her iPad, sitting on the bench, and this is where he kind of explains, because she asks where Barda is.
Right.
And he kind of says, yeah, we're trading off, because we both have a thing. We work together. There's this thing. Just kind of oversimplifying it.
It's a Nightwing shirt he's wearing there, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Then we turn and he's calling Barda because I guess we're back in the war and there's this guy leaning down in front of him. And I guess Barda and this general from the other team had agreed to duel.
Right.
And so the winner would win and the loser would take their team. Why do I keep saying team? Take their army and leave. And Barda forgot. So Scott has to do it and he ends up losing. And he's like, yeah, so, we lost. And it shows the fight, and this guy will come back later.
He got the crap beat out of him. He looks pretty rough here. He's looking
good. And then he comes back, and he's home, and Funky's there. I did want to mention he's wearing a Superman shirt again. Mm. And this time it's the Superman from, like, it was either the 90s or early 2000s. I can't remember the exact time, but it was whenever Superman turned into pure energy. And so that was a kind of cool thing. I would totally wear one of those shirts now.
Oh yeah.
And there's a little moment cause you know, we always have those kind of skitzing out moments where the picture shifts.
Mm-hmm.
And in this one, the S is blue, but later on, whenever it glitches, it turns red. And it made me think about that Superman back in the day. There was a time when his energy being like split into two, there were two Superman. There were Superman Red and Superman Blue.
Right.
So I was just like, that has to be a tip of the hat to that.
Isn't that a comic that's out right now? Superman Red and Blue. Not that it's,
I mean, there's Superman Red Sun. Is that what you're thinking of? That's like
I think like a currently running comic book is named Red and Blue.
Like I said, I am caught up to 6 months ago.
Okay. It might be newer than that.
But I didn't even read, like, I've read, there may be other Superman titles that I know.
I'll look just for our fans to know if it's true.
And then I'll just keep going along and you can jump
carry
in.
Carry on, my friend.
Then he's sitting there talking with Funky again and just, I mean, that's all. He's in battle. He's in war. Oh, and the next time they cut to it, we see a parademon, but it's a little baby parademon. And Scott is like, no, maybe we shouldn't kill it. Maybe we don't need to. And Light Ray just obliterates this thing. Because Scott has a different mentality now. You know, he is a father.
Superman Red and Blue from this year. There's only a handful of issues out.
Okay.
So, be on the lookout.
Interesting. Then we're back and he's wearing a Booster Gold shirt. I like that.
Nice.
I can't. I'm just trying to make this fast. He's talking to Barda a little bit, and that's it. You know. Then we're back in the war, and then back home, back in the war, back home. And
I think a major theme here is we're just feeling like the weight of his responsibilities at home and at this war. Yeah. Like he's the high father now.
And he's a father. Yeah.
And those are two very contrasting things despite the similarities of their name. And again, read the comic book. It's going to help you understand this way more than we can.
And it's not until the very last two pages that we get to see them together. Mm-hmm. And they're laying on the couch, Mr. Miracle with an Aquaman shirt.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're just kind of catching up. And that's about it, you know.
Yeah, I will say there's one last moment in the war that's nice. You see Scott walking in his suit, but his mask's off. And he's just walking by himself through this field of death and fire. Like, there are bodies everywhere. There's fire. Darkseid's flag is flying in the air, soft in the distance, and it's tattered. And he's by himself, and he's just singing the Hush Little Baby song by himself. Which changes the context when he's singing it to his child. But then if you want to look at the citizens and soldiers of New Genesis that are laying dead here, and he's singing in a very much more somber thing. It's kind of a sad scene. Yeah. And then we get a classic Darkseid is panel just showing it's kind of hard to escape.
And then he just we finally get to see him singing that to his baby again, but he's smiling, and they just kind of drift off to sleep. So, and that's the end of that issue.
Yeah.
And I probably could have gone a little bit quicker, but.
No, I mean, we still want to give him a little bit. I think it's such a difficult one. Like, again, I think you heard several episodes ago that we were discussing, do we want to go further than even issue 6 because of just the way that these are drawn and the way that the story is told, it can be a little difficult to, in a timely manner, get through all the nitty gritty of what makes them so great. So we are going to have to generalize some of this, but I think you went through at a good pace. One more for today, on to issue 9. This one, again, kind of has like a theme of what they're going through. And just to kind of discuss it, where we're at this place where we're negotiating on essentially like there's a ceasefire, right? Like,
trying to negotiate for peace.
Right. Like, can we end this war? Can the leaders of this war come together? And Darkseid's not there, but he does have some of the Furies and other generals there on his behalf, like negotiating. Scott and Barda are there along with Light Ray. And it's kind of twisted also. There's like slaves holding the table up with their back.
One of them is one of the guys that was at the trial.
Yeah.
I didn't recognize the other ones.
Yeah, it's pretty intense. Yeah. But basically they go through, and this is like several days. Yeah. Like, and there's a lot of just nuanced discussion going on. But I feel like we're safe here to just get to like the meat of what happens here. Scott like makes some pretty aggressive demands, and it seems like they've won the negotiations, and the generals decide we're going to go back. We're going to present this to Darkseid, but we don't foresee any issues with this. And at one point, Scott is also gifted the, what is it, the good mirror of Granny Goodness? Or there's a specific name for it, I think. The mirror of goodness. And there's a pretty revealing, like, what it does. It's kind of like it shows you what you really are. Mm-hmm. And at one point, Scott stands in front of it with Barda, and it, like, removes all of the healing that's been done to his body, like through science, and he's just like this tattered, destroyed man. And the same thing for Barda. But anyway, after like a week of negotiations, they come back, and it's day 7, and the guy that's kind of leading Darkseid's generals through this negotiation says, "Father has rejected our terms of agreement. He can't agree to this." And Barda and Scott are like, "What are you talking about? Like, we were done with this. This was a good deal. We were doing this." But he's like, "Well, he's made an alternate proposition, and I'm just going to read this. Darkseid is willing to withdraw all forces immediately, return all prisoners. Further, he will disarm and allow the New Genesis force to inspect Apocalypse." He's going to let them come into their side. And he said, finally, he will surrender the anti-life equation, which wasn't even on the table before. Mm-hmm. Like Scott's like, you said that wasn't even an option before. And then he says, here's the kicker. He says, in return for his complete capitulation, Darkseid humbly only asks for one thing. And they're like, what is it? He asked for custody of his only grandchild, Great Jacob Free. And he asked that the boy be raised on Apokolips, that he be raised there as the one true heir of Darkseid. And as you can imagine, this was complete shock to Barda and Scott. Like, the fact that they would even have the gumption to ask such a thing. And then we get this really, really eerie panel where it's kind of checkerboard style of shocked reactions from Scott and Barda, from shock to anger to fury, and Darkseid's just staring and then slowly gets this evil, menacing grin. And Scott kind of has this thing of like, you can almost see it, at least I can in the art, like a guilty consideration of what was just said, like not an immediate rejection. Yeah. And then the comic ends.
Yeah.
So that's like the major bomb, the trajectory bomb that 7, 8, and 9 like yeah. went on.
Yeah. As I was reading it, I was like, okay, this is interesting. I mean, sure, there's all kinds of like little things.
Right.
But I was like, what is actually happening? What are we getting to? And then like the last page, mm-hmm. I was just like, oh,
yeah.
Okay, that's a way to end it.
And what's cool is in the greater scheme of things, like if you look at 7, 8, 9 as a collection, like you spend two books establishing this very warm, mm-hmm. sacrificial love for Scott and Barda for their child. You know, the things they're going through to make sure that he has this life, what he means to him, the sacrifice, the hope that they're instilling in him, even subconsciously, and then it's requested as the sacrifice of you give up your child to Darkseid, mm-hmm. and this war is over. You're going to save trillions of people. And the complexity gets thicker when you consider that the very same thing happened to Scott. You know, he was given up as a pawn, essentially. Like, he was traded for sons, and the war was stopped for a long time. And he, in his mind, and I think this is explored a little bit in coming issues, he turned out okay, you know? So mm-hmm. he kind of asked himself, is this worth it? And that just kind of goes to show you some of the, maybe the damage that's happened through his very difficult and dark life. But mm-hmm. if you want to find out how the rest of that goes, you can keep listening to Two Man Comic Book Club Podcast. What did you think of these ones, man?
Yeah, I mean, it was, like, I think you covered it.
Yeah.
It wasn't like superheroes zipping around. It was a story of a kid.
Yeah, you know? I think Drew and I share this unspoken hope that you take the time to go and explore these. Sorry, I'm trying to avoid sneezing. Just because there's so much awesome nuance in all the story that we just burned through in less than 30 minutes. The art is great. The storytelling is so much more nuanced than what we had time to tell you, but it really does paint this broad stroking picture of all this, just details of the humanity that's still found in these gods. It's really good. It's A+ storytelling, even if Drew and I are doing a D- job of telling it to you. Maybe a C+. Let's give ourselves a little pat.
Well, you know, D is for degree.
Ah.
So.
A great man once said that.
Yeah. Well, are you ready to move on?
Yeah, we got some trivia, yeah?
Yeah. Well, I guess it's time for our two-man trivia. Lightning round. Let me try that again. It's time for our lightning round trivia, where the questions are faster than my brain halting to a stop whenever I'm trying to come up with faster than.
Yeah.
I didn't have a plan. I just wanted to see if one would come out.
Yeah, that's
fine. It did not.
Yeah, sometimes it'd be like that.
Yeah.
Do you want to go first? You want me to go first?
You can go. By the way, I believe we are tied 1-1.
Yeah. So my question has several parts, so if you can answer any of them, I'll give you a point for any one. Okay. A little harder of a question. Darkseid was created by Jack Kirby. Can you give me his first appearance, either the issue number, the title? There are there are two ways to look at this question, which is why there's another part. So that's either like a true first appearance, what book came out first, or the New 52 recontinuity retcon first appearance, which they actually did consider. Like, there's a section here, like, if you're talking about his New 52's first appearance, it was this and this and this. So if you can give me the number for any of them, like, I'll give you a point. If you give me the title for any of them, I'll give you a point.
For the original, I have no idea.
Yeah. Take a swing just because. Might as well, right?
The New Gods. No. Number one.
No.
1971.
Actually, it doesn't have the years. You don't have to guess the year. Just the comic number and the title.
Yeah.
So no for the old ones. The New 52.
Yeah. You can take a swing at. I'm assuming it was... I can't remember if he showed up in the first book, but I know the Parademons were around in Justice League of the New 52, so I'm guessing he showed up in Justice League, New 52.
That is the title that he first showed up in. Do you have a number?
Something makes me think it wouldn't have been number one, because they have heroes to introduce and the Parademons and stuff like that. My guess is number three.
That is correct.
I was thinking, you know, you have more exposition you have to do. So. Yeah.
2 points for you, sir.
What?
Good job. Justice League of Volume 2, Number 3 by Geoff Johns and Jim Lee is the official retcon New 52 first appearance of Darkseid.
I've got that comic book in my collection because I got this subscription whenever I was like, they're rebooting everything. So I got a subscription to Action Comics, I got a subscription to Superman, and I got a subscription to Justice League that showed up every month in the mail. So
probably tattered.
Well, I think that those ended up okay.
I did that with Marvel for several issues, and half the time I'd sometimes send it back, like, give me a new one, and they would do it.
Yeah.
I'm like, this one was destroyed. I didn't pay for this. Eventually, I stopped doing that, and now if I get comics online, I just do Midtown because they know what they're doing, and they put legitimate protection around the books to make sure they're in good shape. Sweet. Good job, sir. That might have been a game winner.
That might have iced it. So I have three, and you have one.
Yeah.
So, this next one, it's only for one, but
it's fine.
I'll have to give you a chance to win it the next time. I don't actually know how to pronounce this, but we're going to see. I'm just asking, do you know what Highfather's name is?
Like the OG Highfather?
Yeah. I mean, just
Scott's actual father.
Like the one that we had at the beginning of the series.
Scott or Orion.
Correct. Because I don't know that I ever mentioned it.
Yeah, I don't.
I gurgled it, and it came up, and I was like, "Oh, I didn't know that was his name."
It's a bad sign for me that you can't pronounce it.
Well, it looks like a weird way, but if you sound it out, it just sounds like a normal name, and I'm wondering if that was done intentionally.
Interesting. Hi, Father. I'm going to guess. Michelangelo.
No.
Yeah, I got nothing.
As I'm saying this, I'm realizing that I feel like a jerk because what is your son's name?
Is it Elijah?
Oh, okay. No, okay. It's not that. I was like, it's a similar name.
Yeah.
I'm just going to show it to you and see how you think it's pronounced.
Where's it at?
Oh.
Isaiah, the inheritor? Yeah.
Isaiah is kind of what I was thinking.
Isaiah, yeah.
Isaiah, it's spelled I-Z-A-Y-A. So do us a favor. Call 66-2-MAN-FAN-8 and tell us how you would pronounce I-Z-A-Y-A.
Yeah.
I'm tempted to say Isaiah, but Isaiah, I don't know.
Isaiah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So sorry.
It's all right. 3-1.
And I'm sorry that I didn't know your son's name. Next turn,
no matter what. It's all right.
I was thinking it was something similar to that sound.
I don't even know my son's name.
Well, you did because you knew the answer.
I was guessing.
I mean, I asked that question during a lightning round. Does that mean you get a point for knowing your son's name?
Oh, well, that would be a really easy one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Any closing thoughts on this one? Again, I feel like I just can't let myself stop telling, if you're listening to this, how much more you'll appreciate this story if you actually read it. Like, this was not intended to be a secondhand, third-hand way to take in this media. So please do yourself a favor. download DC Infinite, get a subscription, borrow from your buddies. That's okay. I won't tell. I won't tell either. You. You can't have ours though.
No.
Sorry. We're not your buddies.
So we will be back next week, theoretically, with this next one, unless we decide that we need to do a two-man, three-man Suicide Squad watch and talk.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
I like the way that sounds. Suicide Squad watch and talk.
Yeah, Suicide Squad watch.
Just make you get so angry that we're not completing the story for another week that you go and get it. Or it could be that next week, right there in your RSS feed, the concluding collection shows up.
I will say this is a good one that I would consider owning a trade of. It's that good. Also, if they ever made like a deluxe Mr. Miracle compendium with exclusive extra art and director's commentary or something, I would be all over that. Tom King, man, he does it for me. Also, I told you this the other day.
Superman.
He's doing a Superman book.
That's pretty cool.
Now, I've always struggled slightly with getting super hyped about Superman books. I've been trying, but Tom King, maybe he'll add...
Did you ever read that Bendis one I lent you? Man of Steel.
Is it still over there?
I think so.
I'm going to read it immediately. I think I forgot that it's over there. We're going to have to look.
It's I'll find it afterwards, and I'm going to put it on this stack.
Read it tonight. I will start it tonight. I forgot you... I'm remembering it now, but I forgot you gave me that.
Well, I mean, it's also on DC Universe now, if you'd rather read it there.
I need to read some floppies. But Tom King, man, his Vision run, Strange Adventures, Mr. Miracle, all strong, strong hits for me. So I'm hoping that maybe this Superman one will also be up my alley.
Ryan has mentioned there's a run that's happening right now with Superman, or maybe just
Son of Kal-El, right?
Or I can't remember what it was. Yeah. Kennedy, I think.
Yeah.
I keep waiting. That's not on Infinite yet that I have seen, but I'm excited to read it because Ryan says he's used to like hate Superman as a character. Mm-hmm. He read All-Star Superman or whatever that Grant Morrison one is, and then this, and it sounds like maybe his opinion's changing a little bit.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's for later.
Yeah. Cool, man. Any last call-outs for social media? I guess I should check and see if...
We want you to join our Discord big time. Actually, I'm going to do this real quick. I'm just going to read the Discord link so that if you really want to join the Discord and you've had issues, then I'm going to tell you how to do it right now. I keep hitting the wrong button. There it is. I'm going to give you the website address. Are you ready? Do you have your address bar open? Here we go. This is the link to join our Discord. https://discord, that's discord.gg, as in good game, /mb(w)2(mxt)U.
Yeah.
So join their Discord. We want to talk to you about comics.
How hard would it be to throw a QR code up on the screen if you happen to watch it on TV?
It wouldn't be. I just never have.
Right. Maybe that's something we can look into.
I can put that in text.
Yeah.
I can put a QR code, all that stuff, because we want to
talk. It doesn't help if you watch on your phone.
Yeah.
But maybe you can scrub to it on an iPad or a TV and then scan it. That's all I got. We already did our call to action. Y'all know how to find us. Tori will be back with us again soon. As you know, he'll be in and out with us. So that's been it. Next time we'll be back when we do comic books again, for sure, we'll be back to wrap up Mr. Miracle and on to the next story. Darkseid is. Can anyone top Darkseid is?
Wait and find out.
Don't know. Bye. The Two-Man Comic Book Club podcast is hosted by Alex Miller and Drew Morris. Our guy in the chair is Torrance Watkins.
Logos and design work are by Tessa Price. Original theme music and compositions are by Drew Morris.
Check, check, 1, 2, 3. Big Barda and Scott Free.
Isaiah. I don't know.
Isaiah.
Yeah.